Each one should use whichever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
This morning we are continuing in our three-part stewardship series. Last week we discussed the stewardship of time, and I would encourage you, if you weren't here, to listen to the sermon on CD or download it from the website, and I think you'll get a fuller picture of biblical Christian stewardship. But before we begin with the one we're looking at today, stewardship of our gifts and talents, I want to just do a real brief review from last week to kind of get us all on the same page. We covered a lot of ground last week, but the essence of time stewardship is keeping the main thing the main thing. Resisting the natural pull that we all have, we all struggle with it, of doing things that in the end don't really matter a whole lot. The most time conscious and schedule oriented and disciplined disciple still must fight this overwhelming tug. It's relentless. It's day after day, hour after hour. It's why Ephesians 5 warns us that we should be very careful how we live. The key is not more time, which is what most people think. You know, I just need more time. If I just had more time, everything would be fine. But there is no more time. We have all the time there is, 24 hours every day and 168 hours every week. You have the same amount of time as I do, and I have the same amount of time as you do. The solution is not more time to get more things done. The solution, as we saw, is to do fewer things. More specifically, investing our time to do what really matters and leaving undone the things that don't. The Bible tells us the things that matter. The things that are ultimately important, most important. But we must embrace those things ourselves. We must make them our own, or else it makes no real practical difference. This means living according to predetermined priorities. We must determine the priorities before the pressure is on, because once the pressure comes, we will resort to what is less important rather than what is more important. First, we must decide what the main things are. And then, as we get time in very small increments, and that's the only way we ever get time, it's in small increments, then we dedicate ourselves to using those increments to do the main things. So, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And if you can nail that principle, you've got it. You pretty much have it nailed. Now, this morning, we're going to move on to what the Bible teaches about stewardship of our gifts and our talents. Now, when we talk about talents and gifts in a biblical sense, we're talking about ways that we serve others, ways that we provide things for people that builds them up. Now, there are thousands of ways that we can serve. Jesus even said to give a cup of cold water in his name to someone in need. That shouldn't be minimized. That's a form of service. When it comes to biblical gifts and talents, there are really only two keys. Just two, that's all. The first key is that we must know what our gifts and talents are. We have to find out what they are. And then secondly, we must use those gifts and talents in serving others. So if you're not already in 1 Peter chapter 4, let me encourage you to turn there. It's the passage that was just read a couple minutes ago. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you're using the Sanctuary Bible, that's on page 1203. Now, there are lots of places in the New Testament that address this subject of spiritual gifts and service. They're all over the place. But 1 Peter chapter 4 is kind of this straight scoop, very condensed picture of talents and gifts. So here's what it says. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So each of us as believers, each of us who know Christ as Savior, are to use whatever gift we've received. Whatever gift. Notice it doesn't specify. It doesn't matter what the gift is. It doesn't matter what the talent is. What matters is that we use them to serve others. In fact, the New Testament teaches this is the very reason that we were given a gift, so that we would use it to serve. And when we do, it says that God's grace is administered in its various forms. When we serve others, we extend God's grace through our service. Isn't that pretty cool that we do that? And when we serve, we benefit not only ourselves, because serving benefits us too. It helps us grow. But we also benefit others, which is one of the reasons that I love preaching and teaching. It's just so efficient. For example, if I speak just 30 minutes today, and you're probably hoping that I'll only speak 30 minutes, there's about 300 of you here. So if you multiply 300 by 30, that's 9,000 man minutes. Now, if I were to share with you what I'm sharing this morning individually, I went around to each of you, it would take me 4 weeks of 8 hours a day to do it. But today, I can just do it in 30 minutes. So it's very efficient. Now, I realize that I'm going on a limb here, but I believe that what I'm saying is of some benefit to you. Otherwise, we'd both be wasting our time, wouldn't we? So by my serving, others benefit. Verse 11 goes on to say, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And I do that. I believe that I'm not speaking literally the words of God, but I'm speaking what God has revealed in his word. And I work hard at doing it accurately. But if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God supplies or provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. So service not only benefits me, it not only benefits others, but through my service, through your service, God is praised. That's the way he designed it. It doesn't matter what the gift or service is. What matters is that we are using our gifts and talents to serve others. Using our gifts and talents, in fact, is the whole idea. Now, those of you who know me fairly well know that I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. I mean, we talk about them at the end of the year most years, but I'm not really too impressed with the concept of New Year's resolutions. From what I observe, they don't really work that really very well. But studies have shown that those who make New Year's resolutions, they're usually broken before the holidays are even over, and then very few resolutions remain after the first 2 or 3 weeks of the new year. But I made a very rare exception back in December of 2008, and I made one New Year's resolution. Now, you may not know this about me, but I hate clutter. Those of you who do know me know that I despise clutter. Now, I inherited this from my mom, who is here today, actually, with my dad, and they'll be very appreciative if I don't ask them to stand, so I won't. But I inherited what I call the neat-nick gene from my mom. And it's always worked for me, and I don't apologize for it. It's served me very well. But even someone as clutter-averse as I am still has a little bit of clutter in their life. And so I made this resolution that I was going to get rid of this little bit of clutter that I had. The resolution was to declutter and purge. D&P, they call it in the business. And frankly, it wasn't going to be a very big challenge. But I made this resolution December 31st, 2008, and then 18 days later, mark it, 18 days later, we had the great Grace Church flood of 09. And in that flood, I lost 800 books from my library. You got to love God's sense of humor. You want purge? I'll give you purge. Try this. Now, I suspect that losing 800 books would be, that would be tragic for just about anyone. But for a pastor, it's truly heartbreaking. But now I have this great start to purging and decluttering. But another disappointment of this event was the fact that there were books in my library that I hadn't read. And so I learned the hard way that we don't have forever to do certain things, that we must do them while we can, and we must use what we have while we have it. It's the same with our gifts and talents. If we don't know what they are, what difference does it make? And if we know what they are but we don't use them, then what difference does it make? Now, before I came today, I grabbed a few things that I'm not using. They're just sitting around, serving no purpose. So I brought them with me, brought them in this bag, and they're perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with them. The problem is, I'm not using them. And if I'm not using them, then what's the point in having them, right? Does that make sense? So just a few things, and we'll start with this Eddie Bauer computer case. Now, when I had my old laptop, it was starting to go on me, starting to die, and so I got another one, and I got a case for it. So when my laptop did die, I had this case, but no computer to put in it. So it's perfectly fine. It works. It's nice. I used it a while myself, and if you can use this, it's yours. Just come right up here. Please, you'll do me a favor if you will take this. Anybody? It's not a trick. It's not a bomb in here or anything. Now, is Lydia Katona here? Oh.
Yeah, she's not feeling.
You're her proxy today?
She told me to tell you
that I didn't
know it was
important
for me.
Way to go. Way to go, Lynn. Okay, so my goal is for someone here to come up and take this and use it. Because I'm not using it. All right. Come on. Now, the reason Lynn is coming up here is that I asked Lydia, who has a yard sale twice a year, and then she does gives the proceeds to missionaries. And I told her that if no one came up and got what I was offering, which was a possibility, then would she come and take it for her yard sales? And she said she would. So this is for Lydia. And it's too bad none of you get it. Okay, thanks. You know, you might want to sit on the end, because I don't know if they're going to take anything else. But I have some other things here. Just call it Christmas in October. Okay. I bought something a while back, and as a free gift, I got this watch with it. And, you know, didn't need it. Already had a watch. Still have one. So I have this watch, and it's just sitting in a drawer at home, and nobody's using it. So if you'd like this watch, it's yours. Come on. Don't be shy. I know you just... Okay. Very good. Wonderful. Thank you very much. You did me a big favor by taking that. Now, on a larger time scale, I have a clock. Now, I don't... You don't know that I'm going to offer this. This might be a different...
Shepherd School only uses the atomic clocks, so it's all digital. They okay. don't have any... The kids don't know how to read time.
Okay. Well, let me finish my promotion, okay? Just stand over there. That's good. That's good. Anyway, you know what they say about a clock? If a man has a clock, he knows what time it is. If a man has two clocks, he's never sure. Get it? So Marcia is going to take this clock so I'll know what time it is, because I'll have two if I keep it. There you go. Thank you. The last thing I have is, I have a Lent giant Swiss premium chocolate. I don't have the slightest idea how this got in the bag. I can use this. Thank you. And if anybody wants the bag, it's great for the beach. Okay, so the point is, gifts and talents are for using. They're not for hoarding. Find out what you do. Find out what you do well, and do it. People will benefit, you will grow, and God will be praised. Great deal. Great deal. But maybe the issue is not knowing what your gift is and not using it. Maybe it's you don't know what your gift is, so you can't use it. So how do you find out what your gift is? Well, there are lots of ways. But first, we need to realize that there's a difference between a talent and a spiritual gift. Now, they're both useful, and they both should be used to serve others. But there's a difference. A spiritual gift is kind of a special talent, if you will. Now, the Bible talks about spiritual gifts a lot. It doesn't actually give a definition, per se. But we know from various scripture passages what a spiritual gift is, so we can define it biblically. And here's a definition. A spiritual gift is a divine enablement given to each believer by the Holy Spirit to accomplish a particular ministry in God's way that builds up the church. That's pretty much what a spiritual gift is. Now, every true believer has at least one. Some have two, some have three, some have several. But every believer has at least one. So how do you find out what yours is? Well, there are lots of ways to find out, but let me just mention a few. One is you can experiment with different kinds of service and ministry. Just try something and see how it goes. And if it's not your gift, probably someone will let you know. A clue is to look at their face. And if it looks like they're in pain, it probably is not your gift. You can also pray and ask God to make your gift known to you. Because you see, God wants us to know what our gift is, and he wants us to use it. So it's a prayer that's always in God's will to answer. So pray and ask God what it is. You can ask your fellow believers what they think your spiritual gift is, because if they've observed you for any length of time, they probably have a pretty good idea of what it is. So ask them. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us this insight. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all people. In other words, different people in the church have different gifts. And that's not only the way it is, it's really the way that it should be when you think about it. It says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So it's no accident what gifts and talents we have. We have just the ones God wants us to do just the things he wants to do through us. And that does two things. One, it allows the church to do everything that needs to get done. We have lots of things to do here. When Pastor Malcolm did the welcome this morning, you know, he just gave a tiny snippet of all the things that are happening around here. And you can't do any of them without people. We need people. And different people having different gifts and using them allows us to do everything that needs to get done. Because we have different people doing different things that require different people to do them. So that's the first thing. The second thing it does is it means that we all get to play a part. We all get to have a role. One person can't do all the work. It takes many people to do all the work. When we don't use our gifts and our talents to serve, two things result. The first one is we don't get everything done that needs to be done, and things are left undone. And we miss the opportunity to contribute. You miss the opportunity to contribute. Now, if you have no desire to contribute, if You don't care anything about contributing. If it doesn't make any difference to you one way or the other, if you contribute, then I guess I'm really not talking to you, am I? But if you want to contribute, if you want to make an eternal difference, if you've decided that serving God and people is one of the main things to keep the main thing, then you'll need to know what your gift is, what your talent is, what your ability is, and use it to serve others and bring glory to God. Romans 12 says this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. We have different gifts according to the grace given us." This is teaching that we must have an accurate and objective assessment of what our gifts are and what they're not. This is why I usually quote Clint Eastwood, that great philosopher, who said that a man's got to know his limitations. We've got to know what we do well and what we don't do so well. Otherwise, we will be serving in an ineffective way, and the whole purpose will be defeated. Now, some people have an underinflated view of their giftedness. They think that they have few or any abilities or talents to offer, but they're wrong. They're wrong. Other people have an overinflated view of their giftedness. They think they have more abilities than they do, but they're wrong. We should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought, nor should we think more lowly of ourselves than we ought. The passage is saying we should think soberly, objectively, accurately, and it's within the context of our giftedness. If we underestimate our giftedness, we will be underused. If we overestimate our giftedness, then we will be serving in ways that are ineffective. I love the story of the great evangelist D.L. Moody. You've probably heard of D.L. Moody. He clearly had the gift of evangelism. He was a phenomenal communicator of the gospel. And he had just shared the gospel publicly, and a woman came up to him, and she criticized the way he did it. She said, "I don't like the way you do it," and on and on. And Mr. Moody was a very humble man, and he said, "You know, I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't like the way I do it either. So tell me, how do you do it?" And she said, "Well, actually, I don't do it." So Moody responded, "Well, then I like my way of doing it better than your way of not doing it." Does that make sense? Some people aren't all that gifted, but it doesn't stop them from telling everybody else that they're not gifted. Sometimes I think that they think that telling other people their inadequacies, they think that's their gift. But it's not. And some people don't understand what having a certain gift means. They just don't have any comprehension of what having a particular spiritual gift really means. It reminds me of the story of Larry, the loudmouth mechanic. Larry was removing the cylinder head from the engine on a car, and he noticed in the garage was a famous heart surgeon. And he saw him over there waiting for the service manager to look at his Mercedes. And so Larry called out across the garage, "Hey, Doc! Is that you?" Because he was famous. "Come over here. I want to show you something." So the doctor was a bit shocked by the shouting in the garage, but he went over to where Larry, the mechanic, was working on this car. So when he got there, Larry straightened up, and he wiped the grease off his hands on a rag, and he asked the doctor rather accusingly, "So, Mr. Fancy Doctor, look at this work here that I'm doing. You see, I also open hearts. I take valves out, I grind them, I put in new parts, and when I'm finished, this car will purr like a kitten. So tell me, Mr. Fancy Doctor, why do they pay you the big bucks when it's pretty obvious that you and I basically do the same exact work?" So So the doctor leaned over and looked at the engine. Then he looked at Larry and he said, try doing it with the engine running. Big difference. We shouldn't minimize a person's giftedness just because we don't know what it fully means to have that gift. Now, I've tried my hand at music several times. I've mentioned that to you before, and it just has never taken. And I could practice and practice and practice, and I would still never be more than mediocre at the absolute best. But Joanne and Paul, on the other hand, that's different. See, they both have musical gifts. I don't, but they do. Now, I'm not saying that they don't have to hone their skill. They do. But when they practice and when they devote time and effort, it's worth it. It pays off because, you see, they have this gift. And you and I then become the beneficiaries of their giftedness. A few months ago, I was in our basement at home kind of putzing around, and I just put up one of those dustbusters. Does any of you here have a dustbuster? What a worthless piece of junk. They barely will suck up pepper. But I have one, and I had put it up on the wall, you know, on its little recharging thing there. And I needed to run a cord to it from some distance away. And the cord was going to run right where our bicycles were kept. And I didn't want the bicycles to get tangled up in the cord, so I came up with the idea of taking a strip of wood and cutting a channel in it on my table saw, and then putting the wood over the cord in the channel so it would hide it, look neat. Did I mention that I don't like clutter before? Anyway, it would be secure, it'd be out of the way, bicycles wouldn't interfere with it. Just a brilliant idea, I thought. So I got the wood, I got the channel cut in the wood. I hold the strip of wood, and I have to drill some holes in it because I have to put nails in it. Yeah, you're way ahead of me here. I didn't want to split the wood, so I drilled these little holes. So I get the drill, start drilling through it. The very first hole, I hear this pop, and sparks fly, and my drill bit is now black, and I heard the circuit breaker trip behind me. I go, what was that? And I thought about it for a second, and of course, I realized that I had drilled through a live electrical wire. And it was at that point that I thought, some jobs are better left to the professionals. And that's what I should have done. But there are some things that I can do. I'm pretty convinced I can teach the Bible, and I've been confirmed in that work for about 35 years. Now, I realize that it may look like I'm just up here talking and just making a bunch of random noises, but there's more to communication than just talking. Now, I can talk. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you that I can talk. I can talk the stripes off of a zebra if I want to. But communication is about more than just talking. It really, I believe, requires a passion to communicate. And when I get up, I mean, that's kind of what gets me up each day, is a desire to communicate. Few things there are that I'd rather do, which is why I love teaching. I can't think of a better way to invest my life than in teaching people what the Bible teaches about how we should live. Now, that might not float your boat. It floats my boat, but it may not float yours. But something does. Something floats your boat. Find out what that is and do it. You'll grow. The body of Christ will be built up, people will be served, and God will be praised. It's really a great deal. You see, we need you. We need all of you because no one can do what you uniquely can do. Because you see, no one has your unique combination of all the elements that go into one's giftedness. You can have 100 people that all have the same spiritual gift, but they serve in 100 different ways because they have different experiences, they have different passions, they have all kinds of different things that makes them unique. So we need everyone. We need all of you. Having gifts and talents is not, or having them and not using them is really a travesty. Not only does it waste what God has given us, it wastes his resources. It's like having those things at home that I just gave away, just sitting there. They don't do anybody any good. So having gifts and talents and not using them is really a waste. But it's also bad stewardship for which we will be held accountable. James even equates it with sin. He says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Remember, the Bible defines good stewardship in one word. Remember the one word? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Good stewards are faithful. A good steward is faithful in stewarding the gifts and resources they've been given. Now, as I close, I want to make a link, if I may, to stewardship of our time, which we looked at last week. Effective and wise stewardship of our time provides margin in our lives. Margin is the time to do what we would do if we had the time to do it. And it's within this margin that we create through good time stewardship that we serve others using our gifts and talents. If we manage our time so poorly that we never have any time left after we've tended to our own stuff, then we will be unable to serve others. Not because we are insensitive or mean or don't care. We just won't have the time. More accurately, we will have invested our time to do something that doesn't matter so much. We will have made a non-main thing a main thing, which means that we will not impact the world through our service. The third element of our mission. At best, we will be two-thirds faithful as disciples. So it's a call for all of us. It's a challenge for all of us to steward our time well so that we will have time to serve, to know what our gifts and talents are, and to use them in service. Let me close with the passage where we began. Every one of us, should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the high calling and privilege, first of all, foremost, of knowing you through faith in Christ, but then giving us the opportunity to be part of your work in the world by identifying our spiritual gift and our talents and our abilities and using them to serve others. And when we do that, not only will we grow, not only will others benefit and grow, but you will be praised as the various forms of your grace are administered as we serve. Teach us what our gift is, and if we know it, and when we know it, may we be faithful in using it to serve. We ask it through Christ our Lord. Amen.